The film crickets are intended for mature audiences. Any guests on the film crickets do not necessarily share the same opinions as the film crickets.
Film crickets, chirping about movies.
It's time for the Film Crickets with Jay Fortier, Chris Martineau, and Melanie Howerton. On this week's episode, the Film Crickets' good friend Elizabeth, host of Movies with Mom, joins the show, and Jay uses his free movie pass, and Jay, Chris, Melanie, and Elizabeth review the 2011 American sports action film, Warrior.
We don't knock him out. You don't have a...
Does it stand the test of time? Let's find out. Your Film Crickets are on now.
All right. Welcome to the Film Crickets, everybody. My name is Jay Fortier. I'm along with my good friend, Chris Martineau. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Jason. What's happening?
Not much. And also with my good friend, Melanie Howerton. Melanie?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Sorry, my apologies.
Back, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Welcome, Elizabeth. Once again, we love having you on.
Thanks. I love being here.
Yeah. Today we're going to, Steve said, it's my choice, meaning like we're going to do this thing like Melanie had chosen back in August. So we're going to reset in August. Back in August, she chose The Conjuring, and then Chris chose Evil Dead 2. And I chose this one. It's called Warrior. And what happens a lot when I say we're doing a movie called Warrior. Everybody goes, the Warriors? And
yes.
I go, no.
Yeah.
It's not the Warriors, okay? Mm-hmm. It's called Warrior. I can't change the title. It's what it's called. So anyways, it's got Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton, and Nick Nolte as the main guys that are in it. Her name is Jennifer. I can't think of her last name right now.
She was in House.
Jennifer yep. Morrison.
Right? Yeah, she was one of, something like that. Yes, she was one of the doctors in the later seasons of House.
Okay. All right, and she was so in Once Upon a Time. I know her from. That's what I know her from.
Oh, yeah.
Wendy was big into Once Upon a Time, so my wife, Wendy. So, Chris, if you want to, you know, do your
All right, so look, yeah, we're getting into this, and usually it's like some movie that is from the 80s that we may have had a history with, or maybe we've heard about but not seen, and, you know, I kind of go around the room and I say, you know, what's your history with this movie? How many times have you seen it? Do you own it? Have you seen it in the theaters? Whatnot. Before we started recording, I asked everybody that, you know, who had seen this movie, and it's pretty much nobody but Jay. So, and that's fine. I mean, it's because Jay's pick, and usually we kind of could pick something obscure that no one's heard of, right? Or not from our past. So instead of saying that, since the topic of this film is a sports film about MMA, i.e. caged fighting or boxing, what I would like to start out with is, what is everyone's opinion, history, or childhood memories of either or do you like to watch boxing or MMA? Like, do you have a history? Do you always watch it? Or do you like, no, I hate it? Or like, what is your history with boxing or not wrestling, not professional wrestling, boxing or MMA or UFC or whatever the hell you call it?
That's a good question.
All right. So Melanie, you'll start.
Okay. So when I was watching this, I said to my husband, because I was really getting into it, I was like, this is the only kind of sport that I would ever want to watch ever. I hate sports. I'm sorry. I just do. They're just the most boringest thing to me in the world. Okay. I don't watch football, basketball, hockey, anything that you could ever think of. I have no clue about any of it. But whenever there's like boxing on, or especially MMA, that to me is like super interesting. And I'm so into it. And then, but I feel so bad for the people at the same time, but like, I have to watch it. So,
okay.
No, I don't have a history of watching it. It's more like, if it just happens to be on, or basically, you know, from in a movie or something, it's just very interesting to me and it's entertaining. So that's, I would like that.
Okay, cool. Elizabeth?
I have no history of it except my sons actually partake.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, my boys mainly do jujitsu, but they also did MMA for a while. And the thing is that there aren't competitions for kids with MMA. I guess people keep trying to get it started and it doesn't really lift off. So I felt like I knew stuff watching this. Okay. I'm not the type that I know the moves and can shout them out necessarily, but I was like, I recognize that. I've heard that before. So, you know, I'm in the world now, I guess.
I've dipped a toe. I am part of the environment that is MMA. Yeah, certainly there's a lot of talk about you know, keeping your hands up and then arm bars and this kind of takedown and moving your hips and all that. And none of that, which I understand. All right. So, Jason, did you want to partake in this question or?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Hit it. I'm not sure. I thought I knew, but I'm not sure.
Why don't you go ahead, Chris, me? And then I'll end. No, because I also have a story on my, first time, learning about this film. So.
All right, so Melly and I are polar opposites on this. I like all the boring sports. I love baseball, and I love baseball because it's boring. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but baseball is leisurely with little fits of action. And hockey, I think, is fantastic because you have to keep watching, and then something really exciting happens. I've actually been turned off a little bit more to football these days. I find football a little more boring than I used to.
Well, then you should be liking it soon.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But I don't know why. I mean, I still like the sport, but it's kind of come down a couple of tiers. My history with boxing is that my parents would make me watch Wide World of Sports every Saturday. There was only one television, and it seemed boxing heavy. And so I was forced to watch a lot of boxing back in the day. And I have vivid memories of my parents buying their Saturday night steamers and clams. And setting up all of that in front of the TV, watching Wild World of Sports, and me gagging on clams, like steamed clams. Steamed clams are gross. You want to try one? Sure. And the first one's good, and the next one you go, blah. And they were just really like watching these people just beating the hell out of each other. And I never got a flavor for it. And then MMA, I've never been interested in or watching UFC. It just seems too much to me. And it's strange because I love hockey fights.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to watch these people beat the crap out of each other. It just makes me it just makes me unnerved. I don't want to see it. It's entertaining as a movie, but I don't know I'd want to see it live because I'd feel like it'd be I would be contributing to the mob. Does that make sense? Like and I get it. Like you get, it's like, that's the beauty part about going to see sports live anyway. You become part of the mentality. You're all rooting for the same laundry. You're all cheering at the same time. When the ref blows a play, you're all angry at the same time. You're not even sure why. And to me, it's a little too much for UFC. It's a little too much aggression. So I want to be able to cheer and then sit back down and drink a beer. Oh, something else happened I can be angry about. So it's a little too much for me. And I'm not dissuading the sport. I know it's popular. But it stems back from the fact that my parents forced me to watch boxing and I never liked it. So I just don't want to see it. That's all. So that's my take. And I had to bring back Wild World of Sports because that was the only way you got sports back in the day. So, Jason, talk to me.
Yeah, I go through spurts of liking.
There's a pill for that. Sorry. What?
No, I go through spurts of liking those sports and maybe like following it for a while and then. I don't know, like getting frustrated and going, I don't know, I don't want to like.
You were big on basketball.
A lot of my time. Yeah, I was back in the early 90s. Yeah. I was big. What I mean is with those two sports that you're talking about, boxing and I'll follow somebody, feel like for somebody like a while or root for somebody. And then, but it's like, everything is gargantuan when it comes to the amount of money that they want to charge you. If you want to watch that main event. So, $69 or whatever, I'm not far off. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money, especially if you're the only one in your neighborhood that wants to see it.
Yeah.
You can't even team up and say, hey, man, let's split it. No, it's 69 bucks coming, from me. So it's like the one time I really had a good time, and that was going to the movie theater to see Conor McGregor go against Floyd Mayweather because it was just like the most fun thing to like to sit amongst a bunch of people all like swearing at each other.
Sure.
Like, as long as they're not after me, like I try not to like overly say who I'm rooting for so I don't get my ass kicked.
Sure.
But it's this movie, I've always been drawn into sports movies. I don't even have to really watch the sport.
Sure.
I really love the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, right about a year after this came out, I'd never heard of it, and I saw it on Netflix, and they had the trailer. I watched. I was like, "This looks great," and I fell instantly in love with it. So, I mean, it was just one of those things. But it's like, that's why I was excited to like maybe throw this as my pick because I think this should have more love. Like people, a lot more people should know about it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah. It's definitely a good watch.
I wanted to, you know, that's why I was really excited to, you know, pick it, but I was also kind of nervous. I was like, please tell me they don't hate it. Yeah. It's like, no. I don't want to have to defend the shit out of this all day.
Yeah.
You know,
I absolutely didn't hate it, but I think the reasons that I think it's saving grace are the three lead actors. Because you put anybody else in this movie and it kind of does flop, because it does have the earmarks of a pandering sports movie that just goes for your heart and with unabashed abandon. You know, it's like Forrest Gump. Like you can give, I love Forrest Gump, but you can give Forrest Gump a little bit of garbage because it does not pull any punches. Pardon the pun. It goes right for the things that are going to go at your heart, and it's going to pull on them until you die. Mm. And it doesn't fake like it's not going to. Like Jenny is going to be sick, and she's going to die. And Mom's going to get sick, and she's going to die. And you have to react to it. And I think this is where this movie, if it were with anybody else, I think it would be hard to identify with it. But luckily, the three leads play their part so well that you're in. Right, regardless of all the other stuff that's going on. So let's do the breakdown, and then we'll talk about the movie. And I'll have you start out with what your main ideas are, because usually I come out with an idea, but you start with how. Once I do it, you're in. So here we go, Warrior. Oh wait a minute, sorry guys. All right, here it is. And these guys are so handsome. Even Nick Nolte, who looks like a pirate, is handsome in this movie. They all have these eyes. Anyway, Warrior came out in 2011, rated PG-13, comes into 2 hours and 20 minutes. The youngest son of an alcoholic former boxer returns home when he's trained by his father for a competition in mixed martial arts tournament, a path that puts the fighter on a collision course with his estranged older brother, directed by Gavin O'Connor, written by Gavin O'Connor and a couple other people, people I haven't heard of, starring Tom Hardy, Nick Nolte, Joel Edgerton, Jennifer Morrison, Kevin Dunn, who is the best at his role that he always keeps playing? Frank Grillo, and who else of note? I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah.
They're all very good actors. I can't.
Wait, how about Kurt Angle?
Oh, yeah, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle playing the Russian.
Yeah.
Do you already have stuff on him?
Who?
Kurt Angle.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, anyways, the funniest part is that he is, and you know, besides being a former WWE superstar guy, he was an American Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. So I just think it's funny that he turns around and plays a guy who's a Russian dude that doesn't say anything in the movie.
So, all right,
wearing the Russian hammer and sickle,
which is kind of funny, little Rocky IV-ish.
Yeah.
I didn't read what it was about at all. And so during the movie, when you introduce the characters and you figure out, like, obviously Nick Nolte is Tommy's dad right away, you see that. But then you get to know one person's life, the other person's life. And then when Nick Nolte showed up at the other fighter, what's his name?
Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan. He was like, "What are you doing here, Pop?" And I'm like, "What?" Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, it was like such a huge shock. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Because to me, this movie was like, it's so unlike Rocky or anything that you've ever seen before. Because usually there's this guy that, like, you know their whole life story and you're following them the whole time. And then there's one that you just hate, you know? Mm-hmm. Like in Rocky, you always hate, like, the bad guys and you're rooting for him. But this one was like, you get to know both of their lives and. Mm-hmm. You really end up caring for both of them, and you feel bad for both of them, and you have a connection with both of them. So it was like nothing that I'd ever seen before, the way that
does, you know. I believe it does kind of it challenges you, but I found it a little bit confusing at the end because I didn't know who I was supposed to be rooting for.
It's whoever.
You know what I mean? I know, and that's curious, but yeah.
I have a take on that.
Okay, go ahead, Jay. Tell me your take.
I don't want Elizabeth to be like the three of them.
Who are you rooting for?
Talked, and that's it. So I'll see if, you know, let Elizabeth talk, and you know, like, if she has an opinion on that first. You know, I don't want to be like
on who to root for. I was flip flopping the whole time.
Yeah,
because I mean, I guess Tommy initially I was rooting for because it's just like, oh, well, obviously he's broken, so he needs the love. Mm-hmm. But then you see Brendan's life and you see what he's been trying to do mm-hmm. and how hard he's working. And so, yeah, it just in the end, I think, is it possible to be cheering for both of them at the same time? Yeah. You know, not to actually, like, I wasn't cheering for one or the other to win the final thing. It was mm-hmm. I was cheering for them to overcome whatever hardships they were struggling with, if that makes sense.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think Tommy takes on the role of he is the one, even though he is damaged goods, Tommy, because of his role with taking care of his mother, mm-hmm. and because of his role as he is AWOL, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why he's being arrested.
I know. Just double checking on that. I kind of forgot. His role as a hero, the reluctant hero. Mm-hmm. I think he does a good job carrying everyone's pain and kind of abusing himself, so that he can kind of suffer for the sins of others. A little bit. He suffered the sins of his father by taking his mother away. He suffered the sins of, you know, he's not giving his brother an inch, right? To kind of, absorb that pain a little bit, but also to not in a healthy way. I mean, he's not doing it the right way, but I feel as though he feels he's strong enough to be able to absorb all these things. Like he's going to win the purse from the fight in order to help the family without telling anybody. Yeah. Right. He'll do all these things, but he feels he's strong enough to be able to do all this stuff, even though he's not strong enough at all. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, hold on. There was one more point. Oh, wait. Nope. I don't remember. Sorry. It'll come back.
A wonderful feeling.
I had it and I forgot what it was.
I envy you. No, I was kidding.
No.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did anybody else think that Tommy was a little bit repeating his father? Because you hear that he was a drunkard and mm-hmm. and it was because of war, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And so it was just, maybe that's why another reason he hated his dad so much is because he knew he was repeating.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, that's there.
I noticed, like, you know, when he hated his dad for leaving them and abandoning him and having to watch his mom die and having to take care of her. So I think he has post-traumatic stress disorder from literally that plus mm-hmm. the war mm-hmm. and watching his best friend die. But I think that he didn't really understand his dad at all. He just hated him mm-hmm. until he saw when he was drunk towards the end. And you could tell that his dad had the same thing from war. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why he drank and probably why he couldn't handle life and why he ran away from his family, just like Tommy couldn't handle life and ran away from the military. So I think mm-hmm. at that point he realized that they actually had a lot in common. And when he hugged him, you know, and kind of kissed his head and everything, I just, mm-hmm. I think that at that point, that's when he realized, like, shit, like, I kind of understand him a little bit better now, you know?
Hey, Melanie, I'm going to read that differently, but not totally differently, if you don't mind.
No,
I think right out of the gate, the first time we see Nick Nolte, he's coming out of a Catholic church because he's in recovery.
Yeah.
From being a Catholic, right? And he's obviously.
I just have to stop for a quick second. It almost sounded like you said he's in recovery from being a Catholic.
Yeah, sorry.
We're all in that,
Yeah, we all are.
Hi, I'm Jay. I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
Hi, Jay. Okay.
What's the 12-step program for that? So anyhow, so he's obviously, in order to get through his recovering alcoholism, which has been sober 1,000 days at this point, he's going to church. So there's a lot of this Bible imagery in his house and all that. So he is trying mm-hmm. to make his life better. And he's saying, I've messed up and I'm trying. But also because of that and the way that he holds himself, you can see all of that guilt. He's mm-hmm. not only got the guilt for his family, but he's already got Catholic guilt. And that is the thing that has gotten him over the hump to being an alcoholic. So he's got that guilt. And so when he's trying to make amends with Tommy and he's trying to make amends with Brendan and neither of them want to hear it. Yeah. And Nick Nolte plays such a good, again, sacrificial lamb, right? He will absorb their anger for as long as they want to give them their anger.
Yeah.
Cause he feels he deserves it because he has guilt for what he's done and he should, right? Yeah. He should absolutely should. So yeah. He's going to take it for as long as he can. And he's not going to say anything. He's just going to say, okay, okay. Because in his head, you can see it in his eyes. I deserve this. I've been waiting for this. Like, just bring it on. I'm ready because I deserve it because of my guilt. When we get to the end of the movie and Tommy and his dad have that discussion at the casino where Tommy leaves, Nick Nolte goes to find him, and Tommy lays into him once again, like, you're useless. You don't, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
You're not my father. You were more fun when you were a drunk, so on and so forth.
And drives him drunk again.
Right. So Tommy is, so Nick Nolte has set him up, has set Tommy up to finally get all of that out. Right. And he's absorbed it and absorbed it and absorbed it until eventually he takes his advice and he goes to get a bunch of liquor, and Nick Nolte gets liquored up, and Tommy wakes up and he sees his dad stumbling around. It's the only time you see remorse on Tommy's face, mm-hmm. where he says, okay, I guess he's had enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's the vibe.
Pushed him too far. Yeah. Too. Like I'm mm-hmm. a little right. further than I maybe yeah. should have pushed.
Right. So he, yeah. as a fighter, he's seen, okay, this guy's had enough. I've given him enough. Enough is enough, and he sits with him like a child, and you know, and he holds him, and like that's all he wanted.
It's very moving.
It's a very moving moment, and two other actors trying to do it isn't going to work because we have to buy into Nick Nolte, and he says it. Tommy says it. He's like, you're stumbling around here like a pauper with a cup, and that's the vibe. He's just with the hat, and he just shuffles around, right? So he feels bad. And I'm sorry it wasn't lost on me that Nick Nolte is constantly listening to Moby Dick. So he's, and the chapter is always him chasing the white whale. And the whole point of Moby Dick is, okay, Ahab, you got the white whale. Now what? You're chasing it. You're chasing it. You got it. Now what are you going to do with it? And that is, that symbolism was absolutely not lost on me that he kept listening to Moby Dick. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a constant chase for something that you don't know what you're going to do when you finally get there. Mm-hmm. Or you're chasing after your devils, your demons. What happens when you meet up with your demon? Mm-hmm. So it's good shit. And that was two lesser actors. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my point. Like, otherwise it's just schmaltzy crap. But they did it. So that's my
take
on
who earlier I was saying, like who'd root for. Tommy, I thought, was still very pissed at the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So angry that he still didn't free, like, yeah, he made some sort of an amend with his dad. But he still hadn't with Brandon. He still hadn't let things go. So had he won, I think he would have gave it all to that woman, which was his old teammate's, whatever you want to call it, his brother from the Marines.
Yeah, brother in arms.
Yeah, that died in the Marines, that he promised her that he'd help her out. I think he would have gave her all of it, and not because he's like not to anything to help Brandon or anybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So my rooting was for Brandon always, because Brandon had forgiveness already in his heart and was trying to meet Tommy halfway. Mm-hmm. So I think he would have absolutely, I assume that he gave him at least half to like give it to that woman.
Yeah.
He doesn't need $5 million to cover his house.
Right.
I was kind of thinking the same thing the whole time. I'm like, okay, it doesn't even matter who wins because they can just share it. Like,
Right.
You know, I just don't think one of them would
just share it. Yeah. You're right. He might. Yeah. I think maybe he did have to lose in order for his brother to keep saying, it's okay. You can let go. It's okay. You know what I mean?
But the I love you, I think, did it.
Yeah.
That wrecked me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know, right?
I was just in tears. I couldn't talk.
Yeah. That was such a good part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They walked out of there like hugging each other, and it's like, no, everything's good. But I definitely think that he would have given him money too. I think he would have given him money to try to get his life straight and to give him money towards giving that girl money. And then, but the thing is too, is like, if he didn't win, then he would have lost his house and his family would be out in the street too. You know, it's like, so he kind of needed to win too. But like, there's so much money. I kept thinking, there's so much money to go around. Just split it.
Like, yeah, I think the final tap out was pretty interesting too, because it wasn't just it was a pseudo hug.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It was a very
light this. So to me, I read that as a hug. Yeah. Sort of, or as much as these two beasts can hug each other. Cuz let's admit it. They're kind of beasts. I mean, they're look, by the way, I mean, Tom Hardy. First of all, he put on the weight for this movie, and then he went right into Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, right.
Right? And he's got, I don't know how you get shoulder muscles.
They're amazing.
Granted, it's how you hold yourself. I don't know how you get shoulder muscles this big, but the man looked like a bull. Secondly, anybody see Venom or Carnage or any of those? He's so good.
I saw
good.
The first one, and I saw like the beginning of the second one.
It's so good. I don't care. Like, they're stupid. They're great. But he's basically playing, he's got the same posture as Eddie Brock. Yeah, right? He walks around. Does he fake bow legs? I don't know. But he walks around like, he just doesn't have the same attitude, the same loser attitude. But it's the same idea. But boy, it's so fun to watch him hulk around just like a gorilla.
He had like a huge hooded sweatshirt on. Yeah, and I said the same thing when he was walking into the ring. I'm like, look at his freaking shoulder muscles.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
They're huge. They're just popping out of that huge sweatshirt. Like, you got to have some big muscles for that to show so much underneath a huge sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I kept thinking, like, there's no way the size of both of them. I kept saying, if that older brother wins, then he let him win. Because I kept saying, like, there's no way in hell he's going to win over him. He's just angry and he's huge. And he has more experience in fighting, and he was in the military. I just don't see how in the world he's going to win unless he tires him out. But, I mean, I guess that's why they had to do the shoulder, because there's no way you can win and not use your shoulder. Otherwise, if he didn't do that shoulder thing, I don't see how he would have beat that guy. The guy's huge.
Yeah.
And he's a military person and used to fighting more than the other guy. And the other guy was beat up looking, like, big time. Yeah. And he didn't have one scratch on him, not one scratch.
You know what? I've heard, like, my friend who hasn't seen the movie, I keep trying to get him to watch it, but, like, he saw the trailer. He's like, no way that guy would beat Tom Hardy. You know, like I got to listen to that. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? There are people who are unassuming that do fight in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
There's Conor McGregor, who's, like, built like a brick house, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, he's thin, but I'm saying he's also like a middleweight guy or whatever, light heavyweight, I'm not sure. Regardless, he's built very well. He would fight this guy Nate Diaz, who's very unassuming. Like, he's kind of like got some like spare tire and stuff going on and stuff like that. Doesn't look like a thing, and he can receive a lot. Like, so, like, at first it looks like, man, Conor's going to beat the shit out of him. Then all of a sudden it's like, after, like, round one or something, it's like, I'm still in it. Like, you know, like, and then I'm tiring you out, my friend. Like, you know, so it's like, his face looks like a tomato. But he's still coming. So, like, it's not unheard of that the smaller dude...
underdog
that would, you know, like, somehow still be able to, like, keep receiving it.
Well,
like,
I think it would be more obvious in, like, just boxing, because a hit, if you're a bigger guy, your hit is gonna be, it's gonna knock you out. But with MMA, there's a lot more speed and movement, and because it's mixing with jiu-jitsu and stuff. So if you're quick, you can take down somebody bigger just with so
use their weight against them, basically, right? Wouldn't that be the idea? All right.
But he always had that move, you know, where he would put his legs around. That was like his move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, and I have enough students that are wrestlers, and I got to hear about all these, like, takedowns that they try, and I don't understand them. But I'm like, sure, I guess you're using leverage to your advantage. But I don't know, Elizabeth, how many times have you gotten a series of knees to the torso and wanted to stand back up? I mean, I'd slip and fall, and I'm like, If I scoop ice cream the wrong way, my shoulder is gone for a day. I don't know. Like, these people are just getting racked in the face over and over and over again. I don't know. Thanks. Again, I don't want to do that. I like my face.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Big fan of my face. But guys, you know, I watch Breaking Bad and it's okay, but there is no chemistry teacher alive that doesn't say, or whose students don't come up to them and say, can you make meth? Now, I have yet to have. I'm a physics teacher. I've yet to have any students come up to me, do you fight MMA? So, you know, the popularity of this movie needs to increase. So my reputation as, if all chemistry teachers cook meth, then all physics teachers must be MMA fighters. I mean, obviously. and also from a teaching standpoint, and I'm sorry, I gotta call this out for what it is. I teach the lesson he started with in class. First of all, no one's swinging a baseball bat in a classroom. Nobody. Not happening. Not allowed. First of all. Second of all,
he turns to somebody he doesn't like.
That is not fucking happening at all. Doesn't matter how, how much you trust your students, or no baseball bats actively being engaged in a lesson. Second of all, this lesson was garbage. It didn't make a lick of sense in terms of Newton's laws. And if you look at the board behind him, it had nothing to do with what he was talking about. I just had to let that out there from an inside baseball perspective of a physics lesson happening. No way, not happening. That's all. Okay. But I can recognize the fact that if he was an MMA fighter at first and then he went into teaching, he's probably not making a lot of money because he hasn't been teaching like 20 years or so. So that's kind of his other job. But on the other side of it, guys, can I just say, you live in residential Philadelphia. Maybe the mortgage you have on your home is a little beyond your means of an early teacher and your wife who's a waitress. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe we should have gone with the apartment. It seems like you've overextended yourself to begin with before your child got sick, God forbid. So I don't know. Like, to me, the idea of that is poor planning. I don't know. Am I nuts? Like, they were not in the middle of South Philly. They were in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Seemed like they were in a pretty okay neighborhood. Maybe you've overextended yourselves. Me?
How about the bank guy? Wasn't he pleasant?
Oh my God, he was such an ass.
The numbers.
No, come on. All right. Doesn't he
play a bat like a sleazy guy in a lot of other films too?
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen him before.
He was a good guy in Miracle. Good guy. He was like the friend in Frequency.
Okay.
Yes. Only thing.
He was in Miracle. One episode of The Walking Dead season one. That's all I remember. That.
You guys know Miracle though, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Who do you play for? Coach.
He's the one that's constantly blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
I never watched that.
They go,
so good.
I don't think I've seen it.
Great.
So good.
You haven't seen it, maybe? Elizabeth?
No.
Oh, it's just a Miracle.
That's the hockey one, right?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
It's about the USA. It's not just like it's hockey. And so it's no Mighty Ducks.
Oh. Okay. No. Come on.
That one I know.
For me with sports, I feel like if I knew somebody like I said, I don't like sports or whatever, but if I knew, say if my husband was in football, I'd be all into football. Or if I knew, my brother or somebody was into football, I'd be all into football or whatever. You know, for me, I have to know somebody for a sport to be interesting, except for, stuff like this.
Yeah,
a Miracle is more about patriotism. It's more about the Cold War. It's more about that's. It's more like a Rocky, rah-rah American feeling.
Okay.
Because we beat the Russians at the height of the Cold War.
How old is that movie?
It's not that old.
Around 2004, five. Yeah, something. I don't know.
It's really good. Kurt Russell's in it. It's so good. So good.
And the hard part is when the numbers thing with the guy from the bank. It's just that he goes, "Oh yeah, that's right. Your daughter was sick. What was it? Her kidney."
That's what I didn't like.
And he goes, "Lots of stories."
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't believe him. I would be like, "Do you want to see my medical bills? Are you trying to say that I'm lying about my daughter's heart?"
No, he just doesn't care, and that's the saddest part.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Can I and I ask about this because you hear this every now and then on shows and stuff. I don't think they can refuse treatment for someone that's dying. They just do it, and then they bill you, and then you pay them whatever, and eventually you just settle it out.
They cannot refuse treatment.
Mm-mm. You can't refuse treatment on someone that's dying.
No, I know.
But again, that's just, it's part of the movie. It's not a movie without that sort of
action. That movie with Denzel Washington, his son needed a heart.
John Q.
That's right.
John Q. And that's just, I don't know. That's not, I don't know that it's a thing.
His insurance wasn't going to pay for it.
You can get a payment plan. They say, "You owe us $1,000 a month." Say, "Great, you're getting $100 and you're going to like it." And that's it. I mean, whatever. What are you going to do? That's it. And then eventually they settle for some minor amount. Anyway, I don't want to get into that medical system. This movie's cool. But let's get back to it. This movie's cool. So, Elizabeth, you said the most heart ripping moment was the I love you moment.
Yeah.
That killed you.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I can dig it. Let's go around the room. Let's go for that. What part got you the worst? Jay.
Was
it different?
Can I say that's kind of split?
No, whatever. Right. You answer however you want, man.
No, you gotta pick one. That is one. And it's it's also the, you know, the scene in the hotel when he, like, holds his father up and, like, because it's just like, I don't know, it's like, okay, I've been pushing really hard and I realize too far.
Oops. Yep.
You know, but he tries to make best the way he can, you know, so. And then the ending, like the way, like I said, the I love you and
okay.
It's just awesome.
Even before the I love you, I liked when he just kept saying, it's okay, it's okay, you can tap out, you know, like that part right there.
Well, and I meant the whole scene,
Yeah. And then the hotel scene. I'm the same way as both. I thought it was kind of funny, though, every time Tommy went in, he just knocked somebody out, like, immediately and just walked off. Like, so
yes, and thank you. That was my point from before. Thank you, Melanie. That was the thing I was trying to think of.
Oh, okay.
You found it.
Tommy, say, and I thought that was very interesting because it seemed like a weird thing to, not a weird thing to do, but it seems to me Tommy is doing all these things for a means to an end. Like, he is, he knows that he has a job to do and he's going to do it. But he's not going to revel in the idea. And to me, his goal is to win the money for this person's husband who he could not save in Iraq in the tank. And to me, it talks about his character because he is willing to do the violence. Like, I'll do the violence, but once I'm done with the violence, I'm going. Like, I don't need, I'm not here to.
He's not looking for a career.
Rah, rah, rah. I'm not here for adulation. Because honestly, I will do the job and I'm good at the job, but I don't want to be a part of that. You know what I mean? I am more than willing and capable of doing the violence, but I'm not going to stick around for it and revel in it. So in that way, he's elevated above the crowd.
Also, right? the crowd doesn't want the praise. He doesn't care about the praise or anything.
The crowd wants the violence. The crowd wants that adrenaline rush. And he's just, I'm going to do the job and go. I don't need to talk about it. Now, granted, you're supposed to stay and talk to people. That's whole, you know, whenever the worst part about sports, Melanie, is that when you watch sports on TV and they talk to people, they talk to athletes in the middle of the game or after the game, they never have anything to say. Never. Yeah, it's going well. You know, they play good defense, we're playing good offense. Or, yeah, well, I really thought I had him, but I'm glad I beat him. And like, they never say anything. Yeah. And I hate it. Like, I used to love sports interviews and now I'm just like, they keep saying same thing. Same like, they're not telling us anything.
I've heard that listening. By watching football with Ronnie.
It's like, no, you know, they're doing good. You know, we're going to try to get out there and adjust. And it's always the same goddamn thing. Yeah. And so for that, I'm glad. I can't see Tommy going, I beat that guy in one punch.
Hey.
Yeah.
Years ago, Marshawn Lynch got in trouble for not talking to the he's a football player. He's a running back at the time he was playing for Seattle. And he got in trouble for not doing a press conference. Like, he's like, I'm not talking to you.
Well, you have to do it.
Well, it's contractual.
So, anyways, he gets fined by like the NFL.
Wow.
So he goes, he's like, and I'm paraphrasing, so I don't want to hear like, you're not saying, you know, what he said. but it's like, tonight when you ran, you know, like 100 yards, like, you know. What was that like? I'm here because I'm told I have to be.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're like, all right. So, what do you think about the thing? I'm here because I'm told I have to be. Everything was the exact same answer. Like, I'm here so I don't get fined. Yep. I'm here so I don't get fined. I'm here. It was actually kind of funny.
They don't have anything to say. They don't.
Did people like not like him for doing that? Like the
he was kind of like, you know. I mean, I guess it depends on who's rooting for him. You know,
that's so funny.
People outside the city probably like screw him. You know, like everybody in the city, go for it, man.
So now
that the principal was funny, jumping.
Oh,
up
he's
down.
Great.
I loved him.
Kevin Dunn's great.
Yeah,
he's so good. He's so good. Though I don't know how well. I mean, I got to tell you, folks. You know, from a political standpoint.
The inside scoop on the school.
I'm just saying, like, from a political standpoint, being a principal of the school is a very political job. I am not a principal, but you have to have all your ducks in a row, and it's all about how you portray yourself to the public. And if you have a suspended teacher for doing something that the school board said he shouldn't have been doing, whether or not you agree with it, you really can't show up to a public event in support of the person that got suspended. You can't do that. I know you have every right to, There's nothing in the law that says you can't, but you cannot do that. You can't do that. I'm sorry. I've seen him at home when he was talking to his wife.
Oh, that's great.
That was hysterical. But actually showing up to the thing and that is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And it's too bad, but that's the facts.
It is funny.
There's nothing that says you can't, but you can.
A couple of sequences that I loved with that was the fact that, first off, they come up to him and say, hey, can we use the auditorium to watch the Mr. C on the...
Sure.
On the thing. Yeah. Wait a minute. So you want to use the school auditorium to watch the teacher who's suspended to do what he was suspended for?
Yeah.
Am I hearing you right? Yeah. I appreciate that you love him, but you can't. They kick him out. It was just, you know, that and then the fact that when he's at home, and he's like, come on, man, go. And he's like, he's rooting for him at home. And I love how he jumps around. He tapped him out, honey. He's like doing the dishes. Yeah. Like, she's like, okay, whatever. You know, he's like, he did.
I like that.
I love
he's great.
And how great he's was great. The wife? The great when she was like, she couldn't, she's like sitting there eating chips because she couldn't watch him.
Yeah.
So she couldn't watch him at home. Like, you know, like she's like, I'm too worried. So she's like watching her phone, eating chips. And then she gets the text and she's like, walks over. Taps on knocks on wood first, and then says jumping around the living room. Mm-hmm. This is
I love that. That was relatable for me because what my son had a jiu-jitsu competition, and I had sick kids, so I couldn't go. My husband took him, and I'm watching my phone to see like when he's supposed to be on. And I was trying to distract myself, and like the adrenaline, even though I wasn't even there, was still going. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I liked that they showed that instead of just like, oh, yeah, she's at home.
Yeah.
One other thing, I an emotional moment for me is when she's in the audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like 10th row. Look over here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think that's okay with you or something like that. Frank says to him.
Well, she's there, whether you want it to happen or not. You can't change it now. Where'd all those Marines come from? Suddenly?
They were posting stuff on the news, so they all showed up.
I know, but they all got tickets at the same time?
No, but maybe it was one of those things that people, like, sort of let them in. I don't know.
I don't know, maybe.
That was a lot of seats. Look, here's the thing. Can I just talk about, I like this movie. Just a couple of things I want to point out. So now is my time. You're going to think I'm a jerk. So look, guys, here's the thing. Obviously, I like the movie. I do. I don't know that I'm going to watch it over and over again, but it's really good. There's no doubt about it. And that's because of the three main... Actually, all the actors did a really good job.
Yeah.
If they didn't, it's not a sellable film. But on the other side of it, if this were with a lesser director or lesser actors, this movie... it really turns into just a lot of pandering nonsense. It's almost like a Hallmark movie with the amount of, and I'm not calling this a Hallmark movie, so that's the only thing I could think of, is basically you just call it, just call the movie Daddy Issues and like call it a day. Like if it were lesser people, it would just be a movie about daddy issues. Mm-hmm. And if it were acted by lesser actors, you'd be like, well, this is just a bunch of schmaltzy crap. And luckily, you got these people to do it. Because think about it. You have two brothers that don't talk, that need to get to talk again. And the only way they can do it is through some masculine venue, right? Because the only way that guys can express their emotion is by beating the shit out of each other, right? Now, again, I am absolutely boiling this down to the minimum level. This movie is better than I'm saying. I am not bagging on this movie. But I'm saying, like, if it were done worse, it would just be, I am manly. I cannot deal with my emotionalism unless I beat up people or take pills and booze. First thing. Second of all, you have suddenly out of nowhere, we have a tournament that will save everyone's lives. That's $5 million that will take amateurs. Like that's like the battle of the bands that pays $100,000 at the end of like School of Rock or one of those movies. Like, whoa, $5 million for somebody that's never fought. Like, that's crazy, right?
Well, I'm pointing out all the things.
What's that?
They both have fighting history.
I know that, but they're still amateurs. They're coming, they're getting people that fight, and like suddenly you've got this thing that's going to pay this enormous purse. Suddenly we have this military thing that comes out of nowhere, even though they're hinting at it. And we have a battalion of Marines all singing, the fight song of the Marine Corps all at the same time. That's like some pandering stuff right there. So this is like basically a Hallmark movie, again, with a lesser director and worse actors. This is a Hallmark movie made for guys. But see, of how we deal with our emotions and how eventually we get our families back together.
But see, what I mean, you're basically saying is that the movie would suck if it wasn't for all of these good things. So basically, yeah, the movie doesn't suck because
I didn't say it did.
It's almost like in a way, like you're right, saying that, like, what I'm okay, saying the is, producers in, are awesome. You're saying that the story is written so poorly that no, if it wasn't for the good actors of the movie, I think the story is amazing and the actors are amazing. But even if those actors weren't in it, I still think the bottom line of the story is something that I've never seen before and I actually loved the story.
What I'm getting at is,
go ahead.
What I'm getting at is, I liked it. It's good. What I'm getting at is we cannot make fun of the way that I'm going to sound like a jerk, but I got to say it. Again, Jay, I love the movie. I want to thank you for recommending it. Okay, so again, I'm going to sound like an asshole, but the way that a Hallmark movie panders to those things that you're going into a Hallmark movie for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Guys go into this movie and you get pandered at the same way. Okay? So what I'm saying is the same reason that you cannot say you hate soap operas but like the WWE, because it's all the same drama.
I don't just you're saying
you get what I'm saying. Like yeah, no, it's all like the same drama. You can't say, I don't like soap opera because all of that is just is drama shit. But I really like all the storylines in WWE. You can't say I like Warrior, but I don't like this Hallmark movie because it's kind of both going down the same path. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Cool. So that's what I'm getting at.
You're talking about the fact that they're tugging on heartstrings.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just not
unabashedly.
Not the heartstrings that would be, the girl who has to take care of the inn.
Yes.
And
yes.
And finds the most eligible widow that's ever mm-hmm. existed. That yeah. happens to volunteer
right.
at the homeless shelter and raises four kids by himself.
Right. Like,
and for some reason he happens to be single.
Yeah.
Still, after 5 years. It's the same thing. I get it. You're like, it's like no matter what, it's pandering to the guy's heartstrings.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And the fact that of all of these things, it just so happens that the two brothers are going to fight. Like, they're going to fight.
It would be disappointing if they
didn't. You know what I mean? No, and that's my point, is that it's a movie, and you're supposed to suspend the window of disbelief, and I like the fact that I fight. Because it's not about the fight. It's about them reconciling. And the only way that guys can reconcile is beating the shit out of each other. But it's the same thing. Like, you see it coming a mile away, and you don't care. So that is the merit of the movie. Just like with a Hallmark movie, you see it coming a mile away, but if you're in for it, you don't care. It's coming, and you can't wait for it to get there. That's what I'm getting at. I'm not bagging on the movie as much as I'm trying to draw parallels between the two. Yes, but it was such a ride to watch.
Yeah.
Because of the actors.
Yes.
Because you love watching Nick Nolte get beaten up emotionally. And you love watching Tommy get beat up physically. You know what I mean?
So I don't know if anybody knows this. If Melanie, you have it, I apologize. But the bald guy with the glasses that's saying, yeah, we all want to know who the biggest fighter in the world, the biggest, toughest guy in the world is. You know, like that guy that's talking on the camera. He's like, growing up, we all wanted to know who the toughest kid in the neighborhood was. Well, I want to know who the toughest guy on the planet is, so I built Sparta. The guy was in charge.
Yeah, yeah. The promoter,
He's the director of the film.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to go in another direction, because if you saw at the end, it said, in loving memory of this guy.
I did see
that.
Yeah.
That guy was supposed to have a bigger role, but he got into a car accident. He's one of the three people. There was two people. One guy had a gigantic afro.
Yes.
Okay, like they're from Tap Out Crew or whatever. Uh-huh. They were supposed to have a bigger promotional aspect in the movie, but because this guy died in an accident, they couldn't, they kind of bailed on some of their plans, so they had the director be the guy in the that was like being the big promoter guy.
Yeah,
I just thought that was kind of cool.
Cool.
Oh, you want to do TMI or go ahead?
Oh, I was just gonna say, I just loved one thing was the line. I hope you got a receipt for your goldfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two commentators talking to each other. Yep. And then the thing that I was thinking, like, you know, when you watch Rocky, it's like one fight, you know, and then you beat that one guy and it's like grueling. And then, oh, my God, you made it. You can go home and rest now. I was like, you mean they're going again the same night with someone else? Like, holy crap. It's like bad enough to try to survive what you survived. And then you get a little bit of a break and then you have to come back and do it again with someone else. Like,
I don't think they can do that the same night.
Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Elizabeth, looks like you're
right. Yeah, because they had ice packs on, right? And then he took the ice off and then he had to go back out there again.
Yeah, I mean, that's how jiu-jitsu tournaments are. I mean, MMA is a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the early
years. Yeah, it's like round robin is what it's known as.
The early years of UFC, when it was like banned in like every state but like one, right?
Nevada.
I don't know. But I know one thing. It was like people would fight. And if there was a, you know, a surviving, you know, guy, I mean, like, guy that won the fight, he'd fight a little later that night against other people. So it was, like, literally almost like having the playoffs, like, you know, like the brackets, right? Mm-hmm. Like, brackets for, like, you know, playoffs, all of a sudden, like, down to, like, the last two that have fought, like, twice or three times tonight.
Yeah.
And it's in one night. This was at least over 24 hours. And I'm not saying that that's a lot. I'm saying it wasn't in one evening. Like, this was like, you know, with UFC, it was like, like in 3 hours, like fight, like three fights, four fights. They've since changed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was interesting because the whole film, pretty much, they're talking about Koba. It's like the one that they figured was going to win. And he actually had a very, very small moment when you think about it. And so I was reflecting that maybe, like, that was a challenge for Brendan to go up against that guy. Because that guy was huge.
Yeah.
And he beat him. But you would think that they would pair him with Tommy. And I think it's because that wouldn't have been challenging for him. For him, the real challenge was the mental challenge of fighting physically and mentally against his own brother.
Sure.
And so that was probably why that pair off took place.
I did enjoy how Mad Dog got beat twice in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That's cool. That was cool. Even though I did kind of see that coming to him, like, that's the best. Because he beat him once in the ring, he beat him one way. And the second time he beat him another way. And it was both as quick. And that was great. I thought that was super.
I love it when
everybody
him.
Found out that they were brothers.
Yeah.
With the announcement over the TV. I like at the beginning when Tommy beats Mad Dog in the gym and he stops and he's like, get that open mouth, like, you owe me $200 to the owner of the place. Like, so, like, chill. I think I'm going to go back and work in the bag for a little while. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So much fun.
That was cute.
All right. So, you want to do TMI?
So
do you have some stuff on
there? I have it. I just want to say that I had a bone to pick with the special effects with her makeup.
Okay.
That was horrible. Like honestly, it was horrible. Like, you watch Rocky, and that was so much older, and they have some good special effects for when people are getting banged up. You could clearly see the pieces of special effects latex crap, that goo stuff. It's like that scar tissue that was just sitting here with a little open wound. And I'm like, my daughter can do a better job than that. She's got special effects makeup. She's really good. And I thought that was just horrible. It literally looked like he just had stickers on his cheeks, but that was my opinion.
All right.
Okay. I'll give you,
you know
that.
How I am with special effects.
Yeah. Sorry, Greg Nicotero. Jesus.
All right. It's time for TMI with Melanie.
Listen to this. I am in the bathroom right before the movie starts.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the stall, and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah. Mine are at home in a display case above my bed.
Yeah. TMI.
TMI, my friends.
TMI? Too much information.
I say don't go there, but that's lame.
Now, here's Melanie with your timeless movie info.
Melanie, beat us over the head. This information.
Well, the one thing that I was kind of surprised about was that the budget was $25 million, but it only grossed $23.3 million. And when I was talking to people at work, two people knew about the movie, had seen it and liked it, but me and my husband had never heard of it. All, you know, three of us in here have never heard of it. I don't think they advertise this movie enough. I mean, you've got three good actors in there. You've got more than three good actors in there, but the storyline was amazing, and I actually loved it. So I don't know. I just feel like I was kind of surprised by that. Did something else that was huge come out around that time, or what?
I don't know. Let's look.
It's just box office. I always felt it's been undersold. Like, I mean, like, I'm always going, hey, Hero? No, nobody's heard of it.
Right.
Like, everybody, I try to get
to
watch.
I can't believe all three of us have never even heard of it before. On here.
You mean The Warriors?
Surprised me one bit.
Yeah.
Do you mean The Warriors?
Yeah, no, that's all I
not
hear.
Not The Warriors?
Or... that's what my mother said. She's like, there's some stupid 70s movie about The Warriors.
I actually got this one confused with The Fighter.
Oh.
Okay. Did that come out at the same time? I don't know.
I don't know.
Sounds familiar.
The Fighter,
I get confused between
what,
the Prestige
one with,
and The Illusionist.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
And is it Mark Wahlberg?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fighter. Hey, it's Mark Wahlberg. How you guys doing?
I know what you mean.
Go ahead.
Okay. Joel Edgerton tore his MCL in the cage during production, halting fight scenes for 6 weeks. Tom Hardy suffered a broken toe, broken ribs, and a broken finger. Wow. The role of Patty was written for Nick Nolte by Anthony Tambakis and Gavin O'Connor, who are neighbors with the actor in Malibu. The studio was resistant to casting Nolte, but the writers held firm, and Nolte's portrayal has won him a global critical praise. When the announcer is quoting Koba's credentials, I don't know if you said this or not, Jay, he states that he is an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. Kurt Angle, the actor playing Koba, won a gold medal in the 1996 Olympics in the 220 pounds weight class for freestyle wrestling. He was also a world champion in the same style and weight class in 1995. On the day of shooting, the crew gave Nick Nolte a standing ovation after the first take of the scene shot at a local diner, but that scene was later cut. But it also appears on a DVD extra if you want to see it. That's kind of sucks. Like everybody loved his scene so much, but they cut it out of the movie. It's kind of weird. An alternate opening shot of Moundsville State Prison in West Virginia and featuring Tom Hardy's character cage fighting in jail was cut from the film. Brendan Conlon, is that how you say? Conlon? Brendan's character, basically, may be loosely based on the life of a real UFC fighter, Rich Ace Franklin. Like the character, Franklin was also a high school teacher and took part in cage fights to make extra money. While filming in Pittsburgh, Gavin O'Connor, Anthony Tambakis, Tom Hardy, and Joel Edgerton and Frank Grillo all lived together at a cork factory loft. Instead of going to his hotel after his fight from England, Tom Hardy appeared at director Gavin O'Connor's door midnight the evening before the audition. The pair ended up living together for 5 days. The location for the scenes in Iraq was actually an abandoned parking lot on the outskirts of Pittsburgh, dressed to look like a desert by production designer Dan Lay. Frank Grillo based his character on a famed MMA trainer, Greg Jackson. Grillo and Joel Edgerton trained and lived with Jackson at his New Mexico gym during the pre-production, and all of Grillo's fight scenes and dialogue while concerning Edgerton was suggested by Jackson. Actual UFC fighters Anthony Johnson and Nathan, I don't even know how to say his name, Nathan Marked, each play the role of Sparta competitors. Sorry for that butchering of the name.
Good.
Brian Collins, MMA commentator character, is heavily based on Joe Rogan. Colin and Rogan are actually good friends in real life. He was funny. The footage shown of Tommy Reardon wrestling in high school is actually a high school footage of Pennsylvania high school standout and later NCAA division champion and U.S. Olympic team member Kerry Collett. Collett was also unbeaten during his high school career, as it was suggested that Tommy was. That's it.
Cool. Hey, all right.
There you are.
It's time now for Final Judgment. Are you ready to rubber stamp this bitch? Here's the final judgment.
It's normally whether this movie holds up, but like this, we're in uncharted territory. We could say, will it hold up?
Well,
It's over a decade old.
All right. That sounds good. Let's say Will, it's over a decade. Or does it hold up? Okay, here we go. All right. Let's go with Elizabeth.
I mean, I loved it. I'm not sure it'll hold up considering not many people even heard of it. So, but I would recommend it to other people for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say, like I said, I had some bizarre points that were controversial, but I do like it. I don't, will it hold up? That remains to be seen. And like I said, it kind of flopped to begin with. Though I see no reason that it should. I think everybody should recommend it to people, just to kind of get the word out about it. Cause it is a good watch.
It is.
It's a good watch. There's no doubt about it. It's a good watch. So, if those in the sound of my, within the hearing shot of my voice, if you want to recommend a movie to people, I would suggest, Warrior. No doubt about it. So,
yeah.
Melanie.
Maybe hopefully one day it'll become a cult classic or something. If more people start watching it, I don't know.
True.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was glued to my seat the whole time. I literally loved it. I actually had to watch it in two halves because it was getting late when I was watching it, so I had to stop watching it, which I hated.
I remember when you called me. I was like, that's like over 2 hours.
And I didn't realize it. I was like, I had paused it. My husband goes, it's getting late. And I'm like, can't have that much left. And then I was like, oh, crap. Looks like we have like half the movie left. So I was like, okay. So I watched it the next day, but I couldn't wait to watch it again. I absolutely loved it, and I would definitely recommend it to people. I think if they actually watched it, they'd like it. The two people that I actually did talk to that had seen it, they liked it a lot, but most people had never heard of it, just like me. So that's kind of a shame, too, but that's where I stand.
Yeah, it's hard to say whether or not it's going to or if it does. It's a real tough, like, you know, I mean, I would say, you know, usually when we talk about something holding up, it's like how dated does it feel or, you know, how whatever. And I don't think they really fully make you think of a certain time. Like, you know, I mean, this is 10 years ago and only with the kids, maybe the way the way maybe they behave. But everything else, like, you know, he's got an old car. You're not really paying attention to styles as far as, you know, clothing. I think it's all kind of like this dark. Dark.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm saying
it's almost like you're not going to stay like saying, oh my God, that's so 2011. You know? I don't think we're going to say that because it doesn't really have that. I don't think the decade is the reason that, like, you know, it's not the thing that's standing out the most. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like some movies, it's all about the pop culture. You know, this is just about the.
Yeah. It's a story out of time.
I would say it will, you know, regardless if people know about it. I was not at all surprised that none of you had heard of it. And because I'm so used to it by now.
Really?
Because, everybody I ask, I'm like, have you seen it? See this. Like, you know, like I keep trying to recommend it, but it's like. Like I feel like a one man spokesperson, like trying to, like, you know, get the word out. But now I have three other people on my side.
And
hopefully people who listen to this will take the time to check it out because it is, the way I try to get people to watch it. And it's not like Rocky necessary, but I say it's like the Rocky of MMA. And I say that because it's gritty. It's, you know, like it takes time to get to know the people. And it, like, you know what I mean? Like it's about emotion, you know, like Rocky, you know, it's not, watch Rocky One. It's not the fastest moving movie ever.
No.
They take the time to get you to, you know, to get to know him and like all that stuff. And it's not like, you know, sensationalized like his other movies became sometimes, you know? And this had a training montage, but it was like, a training montage that was people talking throughout. Hearing dialogue. That was all you heard was maybe like Ode to Joy or something. But
wasn't the music.
You had, you know, like people chit-chatting. You had stuff happening, like, you know, in like different squares. Like it was done differently. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like last week when we were watching Real Genius, everything was like music montage, you know, this was, you know, we're watching them train, but also we're like keeping you like informed. It's not about.
I love that.
Well, I did.
You're That's no longer a one man wolf pack.
All right.
Yeah. I can coin a Hangover reference.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've already told people about it, and they think it sounds really good. So.
Yeah, it's so good. Like it's like it's almost criminal that it's like unheard of as much as it is.
I know.
It's like, what the hell's up with this? Like, how nobody likes, or nobody knows about it.
And to me, it was just so different. Like, I've never seen any kind of a fighting movie. Even when you were watching, like, you know, the race movies. What are those called? There's a thousand of them. There's always, like, bad, like, the guy that got killed in the car accident. It's Fast and the Furious.
Even when you're
watching those, like, any kind of a sport type thing that, you know, like, there's some sort of a challenge, there's always like, okay, you like these guys, but remember you don't like these guys. Like, it's always these are the jerks and these are the guys. Even like Karate Kid, like, no matter what you're watching, this was so different because you actually felt like bad for both of them. And, and you know, you kind of got to know both of their lives. And then, like I said, it was, I didn't read what it was about. So to me, it was such a shock that they were brothers. Like, I thought it was great because it was just so different from any other movie where two people are fighting for something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our show, everybody. I'd like to thank Elizabeth for being here. And if you want to, like, tell everybody once again about your channel.
Oh, it's Movies with Mom. We've been on a very long hiatus, but we'll hopefully have more content in the future. But, yeah, check us out.
Yeah.
Any jujitsu tournaments you need to talk about? No? All right.
It's how I related to the film.
All right.
I love that. And I love that you're on it, because I forgot who was doing it with us. And then I said, Jay, who are you doing this with? And he's like, Elizabeth. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. And then I couldn't wait, because I remember that you did the Rocky with us too. So I thought it was kind of cool that you were doing this with us too.
Well,
I also
was asking if she wanted to do this, because I knew that she had mentioned her kids being, you know, MMA and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Jiu-jitsu,
that's amazing. So. Do you worry about them even though they're little? Like, I mean, I'm sure that it's not like this, but I mean, do you still worry about them because they can get hurt doing that?
I think if they wanted to do MMA like professionally, I would not be on board.
Right. Yeah.
but when they're small, it's kind of okay.
They must have a lot of rules though when they're little, right? Like you can't.
Yeah.
Do that, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Good. But a lot of padding. I think the weirdest thing is when they have girls and boys in the same, like, actually going up against each other when they're young.
That's weird, really. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also a girl in wrestling in this area. Like, that's, like, going against the high school boys and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I had heard about that recently. I'm like, wow. Like, I could see so much wrong with it, and I'm not being...
Yeah.
Someone who's standing on a soapbox. Like, going, I can see, like if you, like, there's just so much wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you grab that person?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Without it seeming bad.
Yep.
And is that, you know what I mean? Do you see my angle there? It's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're always grabbing under, like, you know it's like, I don't know, man. That seems like a dangerous game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it could be a crying game.
The crying game.
Could be the crying game. God.
All right. Well, listen, I'd like to also thank Steve Lavoie for our voice imaging, and then Draco and the Malfoys for our theme music. And on the behalf of Melanie Harrington and Chris Martineau, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully you stuck around and check this movie out. Click the like button. And one last thing. I got to tell you something real funny.
What?
Occasionally weird things happen and it all works in our favor. My son Edward is a trip. He's 8 years old. Right? He grabbed my phone the other day, and you know how you can take another person's audio from their video or even take a clip from someone else's video and put it on your channel? He plays audio from somebody. Some guy was like walking around his apartment or your house with tubes playing Crazy Train. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Right? Edward gets the audio from that, gets a recording of him going, like, beating on the our like, headboard, like, to that same beat, plays the audio, makes a short, puts it out on the Film Crickets.
Oh, my God.
Thing as a short from the Film Crickets. Right? I go, I grab it. I go, Edward, what the hell are you doing? This is my channel. I look down, 2,800 views in 5 days.
You've
got to
be kidding me.
I go, this is our biggest turnout in like a short ever. I go, all it was Crazy Train of him beating on the thing for like 15 seconds. I'm like, good job, buddy. Oh my God. We got 6 new subscribers from that alone.
You got it. Like, that's amazing.
I'm not going to fight him on it.
That's funny, you know, that he literally knows how to do all that.
Oh, the kids, they're amazing. They're really like, you know.
All my good takes, all my good opinions been subverted by a person playing Crazy Train on TV. That's okay.
It's so funny.
All right, so ripped out of my bottom. That's fine.
Yeah, all right. I know everything. Like you know, the highest one of the Elizabeth was one of the highest shorts that we had, and that's like 1,000+. He gets 2,000+. We're at 2.9 in 5 days.
That's insane.
That's
so
great.
I'm not taking it down.
Right. That's hilarious. That's so funny. So, I have to watch that.
It's so funny. So anyways, have a great week, everybody. And movies may not age like fine wine, but we drink it anyway. Bye.
About movies.